Welcome everybody to the latest edition of the Polar Sky Podcast. We have a Model American of the Week.
Holy crap, that defense is good.
Let's get on to the lighter side of things.
Holy crap, that defense is good.
They are what we thought they were.
They'll find a way to win a couple of games that maybe they should.
Oh, thanks, sports.
Polar Sky Podcast.
Now, here's the Polish Guy.
Well, hello, everybody. It's the Polish Guy Podcast back after its yearly February hiatus. After all that playoff football, we like to take time and sit back and, do nothing in February because nothing goes on in February except meaningless All-Star games and meaningless college basketball games. So, without much going on, there's not much to talk about. But, thanks to the last week or so, it's really started picked up across the sports landscape. And first thing I want to hit on is some baseball. And two major things have happened in the last couple of weeks here. First, Ryan Braun got off his 50-game suspension. And although his legal team refuses to call it a technicality, it was a technicality. It was a problem in the process that invalidated the test. It should be noted that Major League Baseball, with these time constraints, the dreaded 44 hours that Ryan Braun's urine sample sat in someone's home or apartment, should be noted that no one else on the planet requires it to be immediately FedExed, including the World Anti-Doping Agency and a lot of the top people around the land. Well, the first thing you shouldn't do, Ryan Braun, and we're going to change things up a little bit. Ryan Braun is going to be the Model American, but I want to get all the thoughts out. Ryan Braun is an easy Model American here. This is the worst way you can go about it if you're an athlete accused of doing something like this. And in this case, according to public opinion, it really is not going to matter how hard he fights. I give him credit for how hard he is fighting here, but in the long run, all anyone will ever talk about in the history of the world when talking about Ryan Braun, as long as the old way of thinking and the old guard keeps passing its thoughts down through the new guard and the new writers and everything else involved with Major League Baseball, Ryan Braun will never, ever be vindicated. And he will only be thought of the guy who tested positive and got out of it. Now, not sure if everyone knows how drug tests work. These things have to be triple sealed. Medical pack, FedEx pack, the cup itself, the sealing around the cup, sealing over the cup, all that type of things. All those types of things. Having something sit around in a relatively controlled environment of any sort, I'm pretty sure that the collector's basement, which is where it's set, it would qualify as one of those places unless between October 1st and 4th of last year, all of a sudden his basement went to, 32 degrees below zero, or, 100 degrees Kelvin above zero. So, I give Ryan Braun credit, but he looked like a whiner. And now, he looked like a smart whiner in his press conference last Friday, where he basically accused someone of tampering with his evidence, except he said, "I'm definitely not accusing of anyone tampering with it." But he really was saying, I'm accusing someone of tampering with my sample, and there's no way my sample could have been positive. Now, here's what probably happened. Ryan Braun probably screwed up in some supplement, some weird thing, I don't know. To have that high of a level, he had to have really screwed up. But the point of the matter is that this is not how you go about it. If you are caught, you need to be like, you need to say nothing. You need to hope it goes away. You need to hope that in this day and age that you show proof that you pass tons and tons of tests afterwards. It would behoove his legal team to, since this was leaked anyway, it behoove him in the future for the next 10 or 15 years to literally come out and say, look, I passed the test today. Then you could have evidence that he no longer had a positive test for the next 10 to 12 years of his career, or however long Ryan Braun's career lasts. The way not to go about it is to open yourself up for more talk about the scandal, because the more we get into this, the more it becomes obvious that this was a technicality that I'm sure will be cleared up by the parties involved, and there will now be some sort of 48-hour window where the samples can go out, and it will be scientifically proven that as long as it's in the proper environment, that the chain of custody will be fine, and all testing results will be valid. In this case, what we do not have is a negative test. We do not have proof that the positive test was done erroneously. It's very intricate how these tests are done. It has to follow the process once it reaches the lab. The Montreal lab says that there was no inconsistencies with the packaging. Yada, yada, yada. Ryan Braun, you're guilty of something. What? We'll never know. But you're caught. And the way to ever change perception is to come out and prove that somehow your sample was tampered with. An almost impossible thing for him to do. Since the sample was not in his hands after it left his body. So, because of that, Ryan Braun, you are in an impossible situation. I understand your anger. I understand why you did what you did last Friday. But I do not understand why you can't just let this go now. Let it go away. Don't let the tester come back to you and try to prove that, suing you for something about defamation of his character or something like that. This guy has been around doing these tests since the test began, basically. So this is not a situation where you really want to keep trumpeting this horn, especially when some players aren't really happy about how you got away with this either. Some players have come out and said, of course, anonymous players, because no one puts their names to anything anymore, which is interesting. We can talk about that at another time. But let's just say that this does exist, and I'm sure this sentiment does exist in some points, in some places. Some players think he's guilty. Some players think he should have said, he thinks he should have just copped to it, and that would be it. But no, Ryan Braun, you had to keep trumpeting and keep trumpeting and keep trumpeting. And now you're letting your lawyer use words like vindicated. By the way, folks, if you hear something in the background during this podcast, that would be the heavy rains we are receiving here in the Midwest of this great nation. So, that sound in the background, that would be that. Now, this gets back to a point that I like to make a lot and about baseball, and you'll probably hear it again in July when I do a whole podcast on this. But, first of all, I don't care if I'm a voter. I don't really care that much that he had a positive test this one time. If I'm a Hall of Fame voter, I don't really care about one time. if this continues on, I might start to care. Because there's one thing that I am sure of. One thing I'm sure of that most people don't want to admit and don't want to talk about is that the drugs are going to get more exotic, more scientific, more easily masked with new masking agents and other chemicals and other things that are derived over time. The drugs themselves will always be ahead of the tests that we take for them. In my opinion, that baseball's little history that we've had here was simply an era, because we do know that it was rampant throughout the sport. Now, the testing is pretty good. I am sure that the percentages are much lower, but there are plenty of players out there trying to make a buck for their family, trying to set their family up for the rest of their lives. Why wouldn't they, if they knew that what they were doing was a great way to not get caught? And I guarantee you there are ways out there. So this old way of thinking is going to continue to occur. Ryan Braun is better off on just shutting up and just letting this go at this point. Don't let your lawyer come out and criticize the process or criticize the... don't do that. Don't criticize the collector. Don't use words like vindicated. You haven't been vindicated. Vindication means you had a negative test and you proved it. That's being vindicated. You had it overturned by a technicality. You're just hurting yourself even more for the long run, more you open your mouth up about it. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, shut up. So you're not helping. I get your friends. Right now, you're that fat friend that hangs out on the couch and is drunk too often. That's all you are to Ryan Braun right now. The guy who says inappropriate things at the worst time. He's the guy that says, that randomly blurts out that you were hitting on some girl at the bar last night when you have a girlfriend. He's that guy. That's all Aaron Rodgers is in this situation. And by the way, he should really keep his mouth shut about a sport where somehow we suspend the belief that it's not normal for a 320-pound man to run a 40 in 4.9 seconds, which happened last week. Ridiculous. Shut your mouth. Go back and play football. You don't need to be a part of this. Get your mouth out of there. Go back and not do those workouts. Go ahead and don't do those workouts like you didn't do them last year, so you could not even make the Super Bowl. Okay, Aaron Rodgers? Shut your mouth. Go home. Take your ball and go home, all right? You're not helping. You might be a good friend, and it was a great soundbite, but you're not helping, all right? Go away. Let Ryan shut his mouth now, too, and go do his business. And I guarantee you, man, you have to come out and say, look, I'm not guilty this time. I'm not guilty this time. The repetition of saying I'm not guilty this time by letting your future test results become public through your own counsel, because they're not supposed to be leaked by baseball, and baseball is a lot of moles right now where anything can be leaked, so this would happen anyway if someone really wanted to find out. If you start creating the repetition of the words, I'm not guilty here, I'm not guilty here, I was negative here, just maybe, by the time that they're thinking about your name 20 years from now, just maybe, this will be forgotten. If you keep piping up and you don't shut up, this will never be forgotten, and the only thing remembered will be the positive test. It's very likely that's going to happen anyway, but hell, I like your gumption. You're going to want to try. I'm telling you how to do it. Now, more stupidity in baseball. Haven't gotten this opinion out yet, but I'm going to refer a lot to a great article that was on SI.com by Joe Sheehan. And he was talking about the reasons he felt that the extra one-game wildcard playoff was stupid. Well, he's got some very good points. I agree with them. I'll tell you what. In general, I don't like this idea just simply because it doesn't feel right. I know it's a pretty lame thing to say that something doesn't feel right, but Sheehan does some work for me here. He gives a great example of the 2010 American League season. Now, the problem that we have now with baseball, apparently, is that there's no incentive to win the division. Well, and Sheehan has a point that's very, very, very close to this. I don't think winning the division anymore means anything anyway. You're talking about winning a crown that no one remembers in the first place, because it's very hard to remember all those wild card playoff teams ever since the wild card was invented after the strike. Now, actually, I think it's after the 93 season. That should have been the first year. Either way, the first time we ever saw it was 95. The point is that 1993, the San Francisco Giants won 103 games and lost the Western Division to the Atlanta Braves, who won 104. This was called a travesty. Baseball had to save itself. Baseball was having problems. Here comes the wild card. This says, okay, now you can't be beaten by the best team in your division. Make sure that it's possible now that the top two teams, top two teams in the league are in the same division, they can both be in the playoffs. Good thoughts, okay? But if what you really want to talk about here is winning a division, it was already tarnished and forgotten about as soon as the wild card was added. I can't tell you who won the division even 3 years ago, because I only think of the four playoff teams. Obviously, two of those are division winners, and I can name those based on the division, but you get my point. You know, I don't remember if it was Rays, Yankees, Red Sox, Yankees, Phils, Marlins. I don't remember what order it was, and I really don't care. We have a pretty good system. Baseball still is the toughest playoff to make. And now they've decided, well, that was too much of a good thing. And the last Wednesday of the season, which was a great thing, ending the season in the middle of the week, during football season, was one of the best ideas baseball had in a long time. And now they got to ruin it with this. Now you're going to have situations where, I don't know, you might have a 91 win. You're going to recreate the situation that you had with the Giants and the Braves. Let's say, and this is the example of the 2010 season. Let's even just take this year as an example. Well, now, most people are picking the Yankees, the Tigers, the Angels, and the Rangers as some sort of version of the top four teams in the AL, with the Rays and the Red Sox close behind. What you have in this situation is that you have the possibility of the Rays or the Red Sox getting into there right at the end, facing the Rangers or the Angels in a one-game playoff to decide who makes the wild card. Okay. Well, what if the Yankees win 100 games? They're winning the division. They have nothing to fight for. The Rays and the Red Sox are hovering around 90 wins. And both the Angels and the Rangers have 99, 98 wins. All of a sudden, you're in a situation where maybe you see the Red Sox make it with 90 wins in a coin flip game, a one-game playoff, a coin flip game, over the Rangers, who maybe had 8 more wins during the entire season. That doesn't seem right. Remember, Well, you might say, well, that's more entertainment. Well, that's okay. I thought the Wednesday that ended this season was pretty entertaining. I thought the division series on their own right was pretty entertaining when you see a kid like Matt Moore throw a two-hit, seven-inning start. That was pretty entertaining, I thought. Now, the problem that you're going to run into is that, well, the Yankees and the Tigers in that situation still get to set their lineups, while the Rangers, with only two less wins than the Yankees, and maybe more wins than the Tigers, they don't get to set their lineups and rotations and relax for the playoffs. It's not their fault that they're in such a good division. I really dislike the idea. Now, I like this idea a little bit more, even if it's a three-game set. But, of course, the only way you would have that is by cutting out games in the regular season, which is something that I think should be done anyway. Billy Ripken had a nice idea. I didn't like it because of interleague play, but I'm pretty sure interleague play is still here to stay, that you would have a three-game series against every single team in the other league next year, and then face every team in your league 8 times next year for a 157-game season. You can have a three-game playoff between the fourth and fifth seeds in each league, and then you continue on like we do already. But of course, there's no way the owners are going to give up two or three home games over the course of the entire season and give up even what amounts to, I don't know, 1.2% of their revenue. They're not going to give that up. They're not going to give up 1.2, 1.3% of their revenue just to appease the extra round of the playoffs, because this is all about greed anyway. This is about getting an extra game. This is about money in the first place. So, what am I rooting for? Look, I just really, it doesn't feel right. I think it's a bad idea. I don't think baseball needed an extra team. I think you're going to find yourself in really weird situations that aren't right. It will make the trading deadline as exciting as it always has been. Other teams will be making trades. That'll be exciting. But I think we already had enough of that. And I like the exclusivity of the baseball playoffs up until this point. I like the fact that only 8 out of 30 teams were making the playoffs. Now it's a third of the league, and you start inching closer to all the worst territories in the world that you don't want to be at. Yes, it'll still be the most exclusive, but not by much. Football is the next most exclusive playoff system. But I don't like this. What I am rooting for this season, because they shoehorn this idea to be effective with the new CBA, which, in essence, is only gaining 4 teams 1 extra game's worth of revenue for the season. By the way, this is why they're shoehorning. That's why they'll never give up those 5 games or never give up any regular season games. This comes down to shoehorning 4 teams. 4. 1 out of 8. 12% of the league, 12.5% of the league, is affected by this year. That's the revenue for that 1-1 game playoff. Here's what I'm hoping happens. The reason this took so long is because the playoff schedule is already set in stone. It has to last 20 days this year. The World Series has to begin on October 24th of this year. Well, because of TV contracts. Here's what I'm hoping happens. Oh, and to back that up, here's the worst idea I've heard yet. To shoehorn it in, the wild card team will now have the first 2 games at home to start their 5-game series in the divisional playoffs once they do get there. That is terrible. And that is only because they didn't want to do the 2-2-1 system this year, which works so well. They didn't want to do it this year, so they can shoehorn 4 teams' worth of revenue, 2 total games of revenue. And what they're risking? is more bullshit. Worst teams getting home field advantage to begin. Now you're talking about a 90-win team being at home against those 100-win Yankees and having the advantage of being home for the first two games. That's ridiculous. They still have to win one on the road, but there is. It's ridiculous. It's the worst idea ever. So what am I rooting for? Here's what I'm rooting for. I'm hoping that the fifth and sixth teams of one league tie, which means that they have to have a one-game playoff, which then has to be shoehorned into this schedule, which is already shoehorned into another schedule, creating total and utter chaos so everyone can see just how stupid this is and how stupid it was to start this year and how stupid it was to shoehorn it in for what affects 12%, 12.5% of the entire league. And I love this sport. I don't know why. It's because I played. It's because I still think about it all the time. I can't help myself. I'm an old sap for good old baseball. But, my God. One step forward, two steps back, just constantly, and it's not going to change until good old Bud Selig is gone. Oh, on to more fun stuff. Well, this is new and interesting. And I can't wait to see what happens with this. Just this afternoon, it was announced that again, against provisions, set forth by the NFL, Greg Williams, former defensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints, had a hitman program, and the league office has found out about it, investigated it, and they're guilty. Now, we all knew that these go on. Now, what's interesting is, what I find interesting is this comes from, I think this came from the league office just hours after big name Chris Dielman of the San Diego Chargers, who you might remember, had a famous concussion where he was obviously woozy on the field, an official saw it, but he stayed in the game. On that flight back home, he had a seizure. Now, and he sat out with concussion symptoms for several games afterwards. Now, because of his concussions in his career, Chris Dielman has retired from the National Football League. Only a couple hours later does it come out that the league is outraged by an investigation that obviously went on for quite a long time, because Tom Benson, in the article, admitted that they were cooperative throughout the entire investigation. So, the NFL is run by great PR people, and what happened today is no different. You get one story that could have really started getting people talking about concussions again and all those lawsuits sitting out there, because you got a big-name guy, Chris Dielman, one of the best offensive linemen in the league. Big-name guy, retiring because of concussion symptoms. Now, let's see what you're gonna see. You're going to see swift punishment here. And I'm not sure how far they're going to go, but I think the league office is going to come down pretty hard on this thing. It's hard to say exactly how hard, but there's still enough time to take away that first to take away draft picks from the New Orleans Saints this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they did go that far. In fact, I think that if you're doing a proper PR move, that's how far you would go. You would hurt the team with their player personnel department. Don't forget the fine. Forget anything else that you can think of. They don't care. They don't care about fines in the long run. Teams don't. Players don't. It's missing action. And in the way that you have missing action in this is, they miss out on a draft pick. They miss out on depth. That's how you can hurt the New Orleans Saints. Take away a first-round draft pick. Take away a couple. That is how you will know that the NFL now is serious about head injuries and concussions, even though they're not. This is how they're going to tell you they are. So, I am very interested to find out what the sanctions will be on the New Orleans Saints. Like I said, I don't believe in coincidences. Not with this stuff. Just hours after Chris Thielman retires, we find out about the New Orleans Saints hitman program. Well, NFL teams, if you have a hitman program, you better keep it under wraps a little bit better than the New Orleans Saints did. We'll find out more about this, but it's interesting. And the NFL, my God, is it the best PR? It is just fantastic what they are able to get away with there. And boy, you look one way, and they've got you looking the other. You really got to dig to see what's really going on with the NFL. And they're starting to really pretend to protect themselves and give themselves good evidence for these there's a lot of look we tried moments for all the lawsuits that they're going to have to fight in the future. So, NFL, very good job by PR today. Want to just get some thoughts out on these things on this podcast. Want to give a tentative Polish Guy podcast schedule. Next week, we're going to have Hack on. Week or two after that, we're going to have Kaba back on. We're going to discuss the challenge. We're going to discuss the NFL draft. He's also a draft pick. We're going to discuss free agent movement that's going on at that time, how it's affected teams. Then after that one will be Major League Baseball preview for the year. They'll be right before, it'll probably be the weekend before opening day. A mystery podcast in between there. And then, of course, the mega two-part draft special that we now do every year. And, boy, you know, it's going to be really hard to be as successful as we've been in the last 2 years with so much questions around the number two, the number four, and the number six picks. So it's going to be interesting. Thanks for listening. Want to get those thoughts down. Talk to you again soon. Again, Model American Ryan Braun just shot off. Shut up. All right, talk to you soon. Talk to you next week.
It's the Polish Guy.
We have a Model American of the week. Holy crap, that defense is good. Let's get on the lighter side of things.
Holy crap, that defense is good.
They are who we thought they were.
They'll find a way to win a couple of games that maybe they should.
All things sports.
Polish Guy Podcast.